Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, folks. So just when I think every single, podcast is going to follow kind of a similar thing, we end up with a special that isn't like other specials.
Yeah, right? I mean, we've gone through the gamut of different types of Christmas movies. We all, the ones with that are heavily relying on the tropes, ones that are unique in their own way. And then we get this one.
And it's called
Let It Snow.
Let It Snow. Now, I'm going to tell you that Brendan and I said several times during this movie, I still don't know what this movie is about. And the last time we said it was as the ending credits rolled.
And we only knew that one of the characters' names about 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, like we're not talking about that. We didn't know the actors' names. We didn't know the characters' names. Like they didn't even call each other by their names till like late in the movie. We had no idea who anybody was. Speaking of actors' names, the only recognizable name that I saw is Joan Cusack, which I want to say why, because she's one of my faves. So she definitely was doing this just for the money. And her character was definitely the most interesting to me, even though we only saw her briefly.
Correct.
Her character name is Tin Foil Woman.
Right. She's the tow truck driver in town and she's covered in tin foil.
Yep. She's got a tin foil hat. And by the way, we never find out why.
I was just going to say if this movie would be redeemed in my eyes, if we had a closed circle with her.
Yeah. But no, we never find out why. So let's talk about why we didn't know what this movie was about. So I'm pretty sure that whoever created this movie somehow had a love affair with the movie Love Actually and thought that they would create their own version of it.
Yeah,
right. All different storylines that somehow cross over
are supposed to connect at the end. Yeah. So, someone watched Love Actually, drank a fifth of vodka, and was like, I can do this.
I'm going to say two fifths of vodka. Right. Maybe a hit of acid.
That's for sure.
Or an edible, maybe an edible. Yeah.
Right.
So,
So
it ends up being this collection of stories that, by the way, are pretty boring on their own.
Yep.
Don't really have anything major or interesting that goes about them. And then they only connect in the loosest way, where they all end up at the same part at the end, the typical tropey. Everybody in the town goes to the same party.
Yeah, it's a small town, so everyone knows about the same party place, which is a Waffle House that is
missing the W, so they call it Awful House.
Awful House or Awful Town, something like that, where they have a rave with alcohol at a restaurant that isn't reviewed to have alcohol in this small town.
So we've decided we have no real way of talking about the plot line of this because there isn't one.
Right.
So instead, we're going to give you the Reader's Digest version of each of the separate stories so you can see how boring and horrendous this waste of time is.
Right. It's essentially three or four or five different small stories. So we're going to briefly touch upon each one of them.
So let's start with Stuart. Who is the female match for that? Because again, I don't remember any of the names. Is that
I don't think it was Addie.
Is it Carrie? Is it?
No, it's not Carrie. I'll know it once I see it. Was it Debbie? No, Debbie's the mom.
Yeah, I don't know.
So here's the big issue.
So we don't even know. Is it Anisha? No. All right. Let's not even give you friggin' names because we didn't know them. So let's go with the characters. So there's a famous singer who's, as usual, just
a pop singer.
Yeah. And as usual, doesn't like his perfect life, because he's lonely and sad. And so he's slumming it on a train for no real reason.
Right. And the female whatever her name is, she's established by trying to purchase at a market a handcrafted elf.
All of you people who do like full-on Christmas villages, you'll understand this. Whatever Christmas village you collect, you know, there are collectibles that are hard to get and they're important. And she's trying to get a particular elf for her mom on Christmas Eve, by the way, the longest Christmas Eve of all time. So much happens because it's established at the beginning of this movie. It's Christmas Eve because she's trying to get the elf on Christmas Eve.
Yep. So she tries to buy the elf. The guy behind the desk is a total asshole. It was like, nope, don't got it. Next. Yeah.
At some random like Christmas fair, by the way, that was outdoors. No explanation of that. The next thing we know.
And she also takes the train home.
Yeah. So she's taking the train home and this famous pop star is on the train trying not to be noticed and the train gets stuck. And so the two of them end up wandering off together and spending an unlikely day together. Yeah, I would go into detail, but it doesn't effing matter.
Right. So the train stops. They both just walk out of the train that's stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, they jump into the snow, which I don't think is
so. The girl says, "My house is right over that hill," and 5 hours later, they finally get home.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen one of those films where a famous person, like think Notting Hill, escapes their life for a brief amount of time and meets a commoner and connects with them and tries to like hide from being famous. And then their publicist or whatever comes and drags them back, but they realize they actually love the person and come back for them at the end. That's this storyline.
Yes.
So entire movies have been made of this storyline. Instead, we see the little skeletal version of it. By the way, just to add a little pathos, her mom is dying of cancer. That's why the elf was so friggin' important. She also got into Columbia, but might not go because she can't leave her mom. So there's like four different movies put into that little storyline.
Yep. And the whole family plus Stewart connects by dancing like Mick Jagger.
Yes. Yes, they do Mick Jagger imitations. That's all you need to know about that storyline. Yep. Okay. Yep. So done with that storyline. Now the waffle place, which is sort of the mainstay of it. Some of the employees there are very important. One of them is another one of our storylines. Again, it doesn't matter what her name is, but she is our token lesbian in the movie.
Yeah.
In case you guys haven't noticed, there's been lots of interracial and lots of gay storylines in all of these specials, which thrills me to no end, except when they wipe it with a like generic brush. She's the out and proud, cool lesbian, and a group of girls come into the restaurant, and included in that group is a girl that she has had a one night fling with off of Tinder, something on her phone, some dating app, and they had an amazing time together. And the girl is alternately ignoring her in front of her friends and making out with her in the bathroom and professing her love. So and very confusing for our
redhead.
Who thought that they had a connection. So she finally calls her on it in the midst of the big party that happens here. And of course the girl has an epiphany and decides she hasn't been out to her friends, but she's going to come out right at this moment by making out with her right in front of the window where all her friends are watching. And her friend's response, Brendan?
Oh, they're all for it. Thumbs up, heart waving.
Yeah. Right. So that gets resolved. So that's that storyline. Mm-hmm. We also have an extremely overweight Asian dude that looks like a Buddha that secretly wants to be a DJ.
Yep. So the movie starts off with this guy's parents leaving, presumably for Christmas break, leaving this guy to the house by himself. And so like the family hasn't even walked out the door yet. And he's putting together a flyer for a bash that he wants at his house.
Because he's trying to be a professional DJ.
Right. I guess a big name DJ in the area big name DJs in the area and said that he would stop by the party to check out
this guy thinks he's great, then his career is all set.
So you've heard the story before.
Yeah, his goofy friends are there, a dude and a girl who grew up together, and they, of course, secretly love each other but haven't told each other that. That's the other, it's like 10 Christmas movies in one.
Yep.
And they're off to go get beer.
Yep.
And booze. But then the parents come home because the snow has happened and they can't get out and
postpone the flight. So
yeah, so he's in big trouble and now he can't have the party at his house. And yeah, oh my God, what will he do? Well, luckily he got called into work at the awful slash Waffle House. And by the end of the movie, it's decided the party is going to be there, hence everybody being at a party.
Yeah, the DJ complains to his friend, his coworker slash friend, about having the party canceled, and the coworker is like some, I don't want to say Buddhist, but like,
yeah, like what seems you Eastern, like to you, yeah. Yeah,
and that's when the guy decides to throw the party at the Waffle House.
His only problem is he doesn't have beer.
Correct. Right?
So he wants his friend to bring beer. Now, what's been happening to the two childhood friends that have been in love with each other forever while this all is going on about the party is they are at their own party because, you know, this girl's got another dude interested in her.
A guy who's returned to home who just is like a freshman in college or
something. So here we've got the love triangle that we always get where, you know, the cool guy is in the running and the dorky guy is trying to let that happen for their friend's sake. Everybody realizes in the end that they were meant to be together. But in the meantime, they're at a party where they steal a keg. And there's a big
from the chase. Evil twins
from evil the... twins, right? There's a big car chase. They get stuck. That's where the tinfoil lady comes in. She's gonna come and pull them out, right?
Yep. But before before the tin lady gets there, we can transition to, I think, the last story of the movie.
Well, hold on. Let's just make sure we wrap up this story. So in the end, the beer does get there, not for a really long time, though lots happens in between with them confessing love and professing love and running away and all of that. And then, of course, they're together at the party in the end.
Okay? Right. They profess their love on the roof.
On the rooftop. Because that's super romantic. The rooftop of the Waffle House. Yep. Okay. Yep. So, yes. Yeah, so now let's transition to, I think it the is cell, the last
the, story. The cell phone girl. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so she's the last story is the waitress, the lesbian waitress, best friend and her had a fight at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Because this girl, is boy crazy, but only because she only has validation when she's with a dude and she blows off her friend for dudes. And she's got this dude right now that she's been dating and she suspects maybe he's cheating on her. And she finds out through Instagram.
Yep. Everything is social media based with her.
Yes. Yes. She loves her phone. Everything's social media, posting pictures. He's not texting her back. There's a lot of talk about all of that. And she goes to his house to confront him, but he's not at his house. He's with his little sister tells this girl that her brother's gone to the Waffle House with a bunch of his friends. And she suspects one of them is this girl that she thinks he's cheating on her with.
Correct.
So now she's got to get to the Waffle House, but she doesn't have a ride.
Right.
So she flags down Tinfoil Lady in the tow truck and Tinfoil Lady agrees to give her a ride. And there's lots of, here's the crazy woman, but she gives really good advice moments in the sage old woman. And she throws the girl's phone out into the snow. So the girl is now forced to live a social media free life for a day.
Yeah. It's basically back in my day versus today time.
By the way, reminder, it's Christmas Eve. Nobody's parents are in sight. Everybody is spending Christmas Eve.
Right,
like except teenagers and 20-year-olds.
The only parent we've seen so far is the Asian DJ's parents who are mad.
Only for a minute, right? And no, we saw a dying cancer woman.
Oh, right. Yes. Recently,
right. Yeah. But it's still not stopping any of these people from being out and about and at these other parties and in these other places. So tow truck lady takes her to the diner and she has it out with her boyfriend, who's basically They don't really say whether he's cheating, but I think what they're trying to show is that he wasn't actually cheating. He was just trying to have a life, and she was obsessed about tracking him.
Right. Informing us that she's a needy girlfriend and he just wants to do his own thing once in a while.
Yep. So her and her friend at the diner have another big fight because her diner friend is like, hey, I'm right here and you're just seeking, you know, for like admiration from other people, blah, 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 storms off. Luckily, the tinfoil woman picks her up again and brings her back to the party where she makes up with her friend and everything's okay.
Yeah.
So those are all of the storylines that are incredibly loosely connected. In fact, the pop star shows up at the party with zero explanation as to how he got there because he's already been carted off by his publicist.
Right. His publicist shows up at the girl's house, is basically like, ew, it's disgusting that he is with you. Don't talk about it ever. Yeah, why was he trying
to be normal? Like, I'm taking him away, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So anyway, it's awful. It's an hour and a half of my life that I will never get back. And that I want back. And I just think it was so boring. And so it had nothing redeemable in it. Joan Cusack. I nothing redeemable. Zero.
No, they didn't. Even if they focus more on just one of the stories, one of them, like gave one story.
Each story was no less than three movies. Tried to be like each of them had like except maybe the girlfriend, the lesbian girlfriend one, like every other story was at least three different Christmas specials rolled into one.
And if they just put more effort into one of the stories and made the other stories more side story based, then it would be a better movie because there would be one thing to focus on.
I just think it's a terrible movie no matter what.
I actually
don't think it's redeemable. I don't think there's anything they could have done.
I don't think it's redeemable. I'm just saying because it's such a bad movie, one thing that I would have done to make it, redeemable, I guess, is just focus more on what I would have done if I were the director or writer is make one of the stories the story and put more of an emphasis on it and shrink the other stories. So there's something to focus on.
Well, I am now, as you're saying that, I am reading this little bit of trivia that you pulled up on the screen. And the first piece of trivia is frigging hilarious. And I can't believe they didn't just go with this. So I'm going to read it right now.
Oh, please do.
So it says Julie's and Stu. So Julie was the name of the other girl.
Stuart's friend. Yeah.
Yeah. With the pop. So this is just a reminder to the visitors, listeners, this is the pop star story where he meets the normal everyday girl whose mom is dying of cancer. Okay. This is what it was put. So apparently this was a book originally.
Yeah. I read that line and
okay. So I can't believe this was an effing book, but it was. Julie and Stuart's story varies drastically from the first story in the book. Julie's parents have been arrested in a riot over Christmas village ornaments, and Julie is sent to Florida to her grandparents, but the train gets stuck in the snow. She goes to a Waffle House and meets Stuart, whose car is stuck in the snow. He suggests they walk to his house. They fall into a frozen lake, and he and his family make her feel welcome on Christmas Day. In the film, Stuart is the one without a place to go on Christmas, and he is a big star. Also, Julie's mom is sick. Those are not even the same stories. No. And I so prefer the one I just read.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, that piece of trivia was written in such a way that it makes the book story sound so much better.
Yeah. So anyway, complete garbage. And I give it a minus 28.
I will give it a minus 29.
You're always trying to win.
Price is writing it.
I'm going to go take some edibles myself and try to forget this entire thing happened. I don't know about you.
I'm writing the sequel.